Well, welcome everyone to another News and Focus program. This is Pastor Sean Harris from Berean Baptist Church out in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We're looking at an article published Thursday, November 8, 2012 by ChristianPost.com. Texas mega church pastor says Obama will pave way for Antichrist. Texas mega church pastor will pave way for Antichrist. Well, we've got a couple mega church pastors in Texas, so can you guess which one said this? Anyone? Anyone out there? What do you think? You think it was Joel Osteen? You think Joel Osteen was the mega church pastor in Texas that said that President Obama will pave the way for the Antichrist? I doubt it. In fact, the Texas mega church pastor who said this was Robert Jeffress, J-E-F-F-R-E-S. He's the senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas. Now, may I remind you that First Baptist Church in Dallas has a long history of having great pastors, one of which was W.A. Criswell. W.A. Criswell was the senior pastor for First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, for 50 years. This is what he says. Jeffers says, "I want you to hear me tonight. I am not saying that President Obama is the Antichrist. I am not saying that at all. One reason I know he's not the Antichrist is the Antichrist is going to have much higher poll numbers when he comes," said Jeffress. "President Obama is not the Antichrist, but what I am saying is this. The course he is choosing to lead our nation is paving the way for the future reign of the Antichrist." Now, that is an interesting statement that needs some unpacking and some discussion. It is as though Jeffress is communicating a desire to delay the coming of the Antichrist, that he's trying to push that back. But we know that our Lord Jesus Christ does not establish the millennial kingdom until after the Antichrist reveals himself and the abomination of desolation occurs in Jerusalem, midway through the tribulation. And so, why in the world are we trying to delay or put off the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ if we know, according to Matthew 24 and Mark 13, that he is not coming with us in the air to rule and reign until after the tribulation? Moreover, 2 Peter 3:12 tells us that we are to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, if we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to set up the millennial kingdom on this earth until after the abomination of desolation, in the middle of the covenant, or the middle of the week rather, the covenant is broken, then why are we in fact doing anything to delay the coming of the Antichrist? And the truth of the matter is we're not. That's the truth. We're not. God has a timeline. God rules and reigns sovereignly, and his will be done because he has declared the end from the beginning. So it's kind of cool and hype-ish and all to talk about the Antichrist and this and that, but the reality is we don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that. Jeffress would have gone on to say that it is time for Christians to stand up to push back against this evil that is overtaking our nation, and to do so via the ballot box. Well, I understand what he's saying. I understand what he's saying, but I know that if we were able to talk to him, he would tell us that it is the gospel that pushes back against evil. It is the gospel that the ballot box doesn't work. We cannot legislate morality. We cannot legislate morality. The demise of the Western civilization is going to happen, and the only pushback to that demise is the preaching of the Word of God. Politicians are not going to solve the problem. Mitt Romney wasn't going to solve the problem. President Obama is not going to solve the problem. The problem will be solved through the proclamation of the good news and the discipleship of the converts that occurs from the proclamation of the good news. The article goes on to say, this is not the first time that Jeffress has garnered controversy for his remarks regarding major political figures during the Family Research Council's Values Voters Summit in October last year. Jeffress called Mormonism a cult. Mitt Romney is a Mormon, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Even though he talks about Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he is not a Christian. Mormonism is not Christianity. Mormonism is a cult, said Jeffress, who was supporting Texas Governor Rick Perry's bid to become the GOP presidential nominee. It's a little hypocritical for the last 8 years to be talking about how important it is for us to elect a Christian president and then turn around and endorse a non-Christian. Well, that's true. We really can't argue too much with that. That's just the reality. And we, as evangelical Christians, were really left with a mess when it came to the voting booth. And that's why some evangelical Christians set out. I have heard mixed reports with regard to the percentage that, in fact, voted for Mitt Romney, and I've heard mixed reports about the percentage that turned out. I also know that we were not able to persuade our African-American brothers and sisters in Christ to abandon the current president, for those numbers were astronomical when it came to the number of African-Americans that supported the president. And this, what do you do about nominating a cult member from a cult is quite problematic. Problematic enough to show that it didn't work. It did not work, and I would submit to you that it's not going to work. Jeffress's remarks received much criticism, both for his refusal to vote for someone over their religious beliefs and because, in the opinions of some, there had been a different understanding as to what the word cult meant in the context Jeffress was using. In a column for the Christian Post, Dr. Richard Land, that's a Southern Baptist now, noted the disparity between how Jeffress used the word cult and how the public perceived it. So cult really has only negative connotations. Cult doesn't have positive connotations. There's no way of turning that around. Land goes on to say, the problem is that while Mormonism may technically be a cult theologically, in that it has moved well beyond the parameters of Orthodox Apostles' Creed, Trinitarian Christianity, it does not behave as a cult culturally or socially. Well, I would like to take exception with Dr. Land in 2 points. The first one is the idea of moved well beyond. I would submit to you that it did not move, because the word moved implies that it at one point was Orthodox, and that is the furthest thing from the truth. There was nothing ever Orthodox about Mormonism. Moreover, I want to take, again, issue with it does not behave as a cult culturally or socially. Perhaps that point could be argued in a limited degree today, but it would not have been accepted 100 years ago. 100 years ago, Mormons were clearly seen as a cult in every way, shape, or form, from their bizarre behaviors to their multiplicity of... Richard Land goes on to say, most people would tell you that the Mormons are solid citizens and among the nicest and most moral people they know. Now, this is potentially problematic. We really need to be careful here. Because while this may be true, most people would tell you that Mormons are solid citizens and among the nicest and warmest, most moral people they know. And while that may be true, it's problematic for a Southern Baptist who believes that Christ is the only way and that Christ is the only begotten Son of God, who does not have a half-brother and was not conceived through an illegitimate sexual relationship between God the Father and Mary. So anytime you kind of go down this road with regard to these statements about solid citizens, nicest and most moral people, you almost give people a perception that you are evaluating their Christianity by their moral conduct, and that is problematic, because it seems to imply that if you are moral enough, you are okay. And that will not work. That will not work with the Word of God. What works with the Word of God is faith in the only begotten Son of God who was virgin born, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, 3 days later was buried, 3 days later rose again, showed himself alive for 40 days, and is now on the right hand of God the Father, waiting to come again. Now that's all that works. That's the orthodox of Christianity, and whether you're a great citizen or not does not determine whether you're in orthodox Christianity. So we really don't need to be talking about... Most people will tell you that Mormons are solid citizens and among the nicest and most moral people they know. But left between President Obama and Republican candidate Mitt Romney with regard to the issues of pro-life and pro-choice or pro-abortion, many Christians, many evangelicals chose to vote for Romney as the lesser of two evils. Others chose not to vote at all. And then a third candidate, especially in the African-American minority community, chose to vote for Obama in spite of the fact that very little of what he actually purports is, in fact, in tune with Orthodox Christianity. Despite the statements made by the VVS, that's that seminar in October, as Romney gained the nomination, Jeffers proceeded to voice his support for the Mormon candidate. And we do this because a number of reasons, but one is that we feel as though we have this automatic responsibility to support the Republican, which we do not. The other one may have been, though, that Jeffers really felt like among the two candidates that Romney would be the better choice for numerous affairs. We cannot judge his heart. He says, I have not changed my tune. In fact, I never said Christians should not vote for Mitt Romney. When I talked about his theology, said Jeffers in an interview with Fox News, I still maintain there are vast differences in theology between Mormons and Christians, but we do share many of the same values like the sanctity of life and religious freedom. And the author's name is Michael Grisbokoski, Grybokoski. So, the governor put us in quite a quandary between choosing one or the other. The fact of the matter is God chose, yes, I said that, God chose through the voice of the people, God chose Obama. He will be our president for the next 4 years. We are to pray for him and as much as possible submit to his leadership in accordance with the Word of God. And it's really doubtful that Obama is doing much to pave the way for the Antichrist. Perhaps he is. Perhaps the pastor Jeffers will see something and communicate something more in the weeks and months to come that gives greater support from that. But may I remind you that for the last 2,000 years, 1,800 years, preachers have been identifying various characters as Antichrist for a really long time. In fact, in the early church fathers, you will see, not the early church fathers, but I'm talking about pre-Constantine and then even later, kind of before and after that, many times the Pope was identified as the Antichrist. So preachers have been identifying Antichrist figures for a really long time, and oftentimes rightfully so, because the Apostle John, in fact, tells us that there are many Antichrists. And that is to say that their policies and their attitudes towards Christ are, in fact, anti. But the beast, the one that will exalt himself and insist upon being worshipped, could be alive today. Then again, he might not be. We just don't have enough information from the Word of God to make such declarative statements. Well, thanks for listening. Have a great day.